this is the clarion call, which has now been largely accepted by the international community. And the main reason for advancing the launch of this publication by several weeks, which has put a great strain on all those involved, is precisely so that our leaders can go to New York next week in order to advocate to ensure that the world hears the importance, recognizes the importance of hunger, food security, and malnutrition and our efforts to overcome them. This is a movement which has now gained the support of the community of Latin America and the Caribbean, of the African Union, and is fast growing in other parts of the world as well. And this is a commitment which our role in the Rome-based agencies is to support. With this in mind, I want to particularly thank the heroic efforts of all those involved in preparing this SOFI 2014 ahead of what was originally scheduled. This report comes in three parts. The first part basically is an updating of the what might be termed the monitoring of the situation as far as chronic undernourishment is concerned. Chronic undernourishment is a technical euphemism for being chronically hungry. And this basically refers to inadequate dietary energy, in layman's terms, carbohydrates. And this is basically what is involved. The absence of sufficient dietary energy basically deprives people of the ability to work and function and to have decent, healthy lives. Now, the second element of the report basically updates work which was begun last year in providing a suite of indicators of food insecurity. This is a significant new innovation from SOFI 2013 because it enables us to have a much more multifaceted view of progress which impinge on food security in our societies. And the third part of the document basically focuses, as we have heard, on the enabling environment and need to ensure that the enabling environment is much more conducive to interventions and efforts to overcome problems of food insecurity as well as malnutrition. The graph you have in front of you basically presents the numbers at the trends over the period since 1990-1992, which is our base for reference period. It is the reference period chosen not only for the Millennium Development Goals indicators, but it is also of importance to us here in Rome because the World Food Summit committed to halving the number of hungry people by half from what it was in 1990 by the year 2015. As you can see, there are 805 million people who are hungry, and this represents, as several of the panelists have already mentioned, a decline by about 100 million over the last decade and by slightly over 200 million over the last two decades. The vast majority of these people, 791 million, live in developing countries. These two graphs superimposed together basically indicate progress which has been made. The MDG, what is called the MDG 1C, refers to the hunger target of MDG 1. The MDG 1 refers to poverty and hunger more generally, and MDG 1C focuses particularly on hunger. And what we have seen has been reasonable progress, as mentioned before, but progress which still falls short of the target. The target, which is to halve the proportion or the share of hungry people in the world. And what we find is that this proportion has declined since the early 90s from 23.4 to 13.5% as of the period 2012-2014. So we basically have a couple more years to try to, we basically have 15 more months to achieve the target. But the actual measurement of this will be completed in about 2 years' time. And this is what the challenge is. So what the only way we can achieve this target is essentially by stepping up efforts in order to have a sufficient acceleration of progress in order to achieve the MDG target. Unfortunately, the World Food Summit target established in 1996 is well beyond reach. As noted earlier by other panelists, the situation of hungry, the number of hungry people was estimated to be around a billion people in 1990-1992, and the number now is slightly over 800 million, which basically suggests a decline of about a fifth rather than the half which is required in order to achieve the World Food Summit target. The progress has been very, very uneven among the different regions in the developing world. Progress has been greatest in Latin America as well as in Southeast Asia. And unfortunately, there has been a regression in West Asia. And in other parts of the world, progress has been more modest, although there has been good progress. Although there has been progress in different parts of the world, but not sufficient to merit achievement of the MDG target. This basically implies that there has been a changing distribution of the hungry people in the world. If you look at the situation today, you will find that sub-Saharan Africa accounts for about a quarter of the hungry people in the world, and Southern Asia accounts for an even higher proportion. The number of people in South Asia who are hungry is in excess of half a billion people, whereas the number of people who are hungry in sub-Saharan Africa, one in four people are hungry in sub-Saharan Africa. So this basically underlines the tremendous task still ahead of us in our efforts to reduce hunger and improve food security. So to sum up, I think it would be important for us to recognize that there has been a decline. The decline allows us to be within achievement of the MDG target by the end of 2015, but is well short of the progress towards the World Food Summit target to which the Rome-based agencies are committed as well. This basically will require stepped-up efforts, particularly in the sub-regions where, unfortunately, limited progress or even regression has occurred in the period since the early 1990s. This listing of the suite of food security indicators is a challenge to your eyesight, and I will not try to describe all the indicators, but I think it's important for us to recognize that we have been working together among the Rome-based agencies, recognizing, as the World Food Summit highlighted, the need to address the four dimensions of food security, the need for us to look at availability, basically the supply of food, the adequate supply of food, the importance of looking at access, in other words, the means of households and individuals to be able to access sufficient food. Stability has become a major concern, especially since the food price spikes of 2007-2008. And there are, of course, other elements of stability relating to changes in weather patterns, changes in harvest outcomes, as well as political relating to political and economic instability. And finally, it is very important to emphasize 2 months ahead of the second International Conference on Nutrition, the importance of what we term utilization. Utilization basically emphasizes the role, the ability of the human body to make good use of the food which is consumed. This can be undermined, for example, by gastrointestinal diseases due to poor sanitation and water. And this underscores the importance of having a whole-of-government approach to addressing food security and nutrition. The findings that the key findings of this section, the second part, have been to recognize that food availability continues to be a challenge, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of South Asia. Access to food continues to be a challenge, particularly where inequalities are stark and poverty is widespread. But we also recognize the importance role of social protection, which is increasingly being recognized in many developing countries, and how social protection has made a huge difference in terms of improving access. Utilization continues to be a major challenge, and this is deals with a range of issues affecting malnutrition, and stability, of course, is a concern for reasons described earlier. The colleagues from the three Rome-based agencies have worked together to develop case studies of Indonesia, Malawi, Madagascar, Yemen, Bolivia, Brazil, and Haiti. And these are case studies where there is a great deal of diversity in terms of progress towards achieving MDG 1C, in terms of the degree of political instability and economic instability, cultural diversity, as well as diversity in terms of the nature of their agricultural sectors. The country studies basically underscore the need for an integrated intersectoral approach to addressing the challenges of food security and nutrition, as well as the need for participation, for popular participation, inclusive participation in policy formulation and as well as implementation, and the need for appropriate incentives for that to be achieved. Four dimensions of the enabling environment are emphasized in the report: the importance of policies, programs, and legal frameworks, the importance of resources, both human as well as financial, the importance of mechanisms to enhance coherence, coordination, complementariness, as well as cooperation, and the importance of informed decision-making to enhance policy. Finally, this last slide emphasizes the importance of sustained political commitment. And this is why I started off with underscoring the importance of the political commitment which has been achieved in two of the continents of the developing world, and also the importance of broad participation in policy formulation and implementation, as well as the need for to ensure complementarity and for policy instruments to be effective. And finally, the importance of institutional and governance mechanisms to promote cooperation and coordination, and generally to enhance policy coherence in our efforts against hunger and food insecurity. Thank you very much for your attention.